Good morning. If you are here for the first time, it is great to have you with us. My name's Peter. I'm on the eldership team here at Aylsham Community Church. And you join us partway through our series on the Father Heart of God. We've had a couple of weeks off of that, but we're coming back to that now. The Father Heart of God. And there is a PowerPoint, and I don't have the clicker. If you want to bring that to me, that would be wonderful. And in this series, we've been looking at just one story that Jesus told. It's the way he spoke into different situations and to different people that were around him with different things that were going on. He told stories or parables, as the Bible calls them. And the one we've been looking at is the parable or the story of the prodigal son. And you can find that if you've got your Bible with you or your favorite Bible app on your phone or tablet. You can find that in Luke chapter 15. And as we've been going through and looking at this story that Jesus told, we've been focusing not on the son and the actions of the son so much, but more about the character and the response of the father. And we've looked at, so far in our series, how the father is patient, how the father is compassionate, and how the father ran to the son to rescue the son. And today we're going to look at another simple action that the father took and what it means and what the significance of that was. So just to refresh us on this story and remind us about this well-known story, I'm just going to read it through, or the majority of it through. So Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11. Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.'" In other words, give me my inheritance before you die. "And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to the father, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." And we'll leave the story there. What we're going to look at today is the action in verse 22. The father said to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him." We're going to look at this robe, what it was, and the significance of it. The word robe here literally means a long flowing gown. Perhaps the closest thing we have these days is when you see perhaps royalty dressed up, the Queen, Prince Philip, and their robes that they put on for state occasions or some other kind of dignitary, the mayor, somebody like that. Those kind of important robes. This would have been a very special garment, this robe, reserved for unique occasions, such as festivals. That's when they would have brought this robe out. And apparently, if an important guest came, or a dignitary came to the village and where they lived, the father, the master of the house, would clothe the guest in this robe as a sign of honour and of favour. That's the kind of symbolism of this robe. So the father's action in asking the servants to go and fetch this best robe is immensely significant. Let's just think about the son. Let's think about his past, his story, his history. If you remember back at the beginning of the series, we looked at how by asking for his share of the inheritance, he was totally rejecting the father and all that the father stood for. His lifestyle, the generations that had gone before. The son then took that inheritance that he'd asked for after rejecting the father, and he wasted it in a foreign country, went to a far-off land, and he wasted that money in what the Bible terms reckless living. And then in that country, this famine comes, just at the point where the son had nothing left. He was once a son, but had become a servant. He got a job feeding pigs, but he couldn't feed himself. Due to his job, he was dirty on the outside, but due to his lifestyle that he had chosen, he was dirty on the inside. He had gone from being affluent to being effluent. Imagine the son just standing there, thinking, I'll go back to my father and ask him to treat me like a servant. Not only was he dirty from feeding the pigs and living with the pigs, but now he'd had to take that long journey back to his homeland as well, and he was extremely dirty and smelly. As he approached his father's house, he could see it in the distance. And there would have been a real danger of further shame coming on him as he got closer to his father's house. This time, as he got close to his father's house, he would have started to recognize some of the faces around. Perhaps some of the hired servants in the villages, some of his father's men that were working for him. Perhaps he recognized other families that he had grown up with. And they would have all known, all too well, the son's dishonorable behavior and his actions and what he did. Could he complete the rest of his journey, that the short bit that was left up to his father's house in this condition, dirty and smelly, standing there? But of course, he doesn't have to do it by himself. As the son stands there, in the distance, the father sees his son, feels compassion for him, and runs to him, embraces him, kisses him, and he calls for his servants to go and get that best robe and put it on him. The father takes the robe and places it on the son, just as he is, covering his shame. Without as much as saying one word, the father, in this simple act of placing the robe on his son, declares, "This is my son, and I have forgiven him, and I have welcomed him home." His shame was now completely covered up. And thanks to the robe that the father had placed on the son is now able to kind of enter through the village and go up to his father's home and make it home with his father at his side, under the protection of his father. This act of placing this robe of honor and favor on his son is a symbol of complete forgiveness. In fact, there's four things that we can note from this act that the Father did. Four areas of forgiveness. Firstly, it was instant. The Father saw the Son, had compassion, ran to him, and clothed him in that robe, covering his shame. Didn't make his Son earn forgiveness over a period of time by giving him lots of hurdles to overcome. He simply forgave him immediately and unconditionally, right there, no strings attached. Put the robe on him and welcomed him home. The second thing is, it was complete forgiveness. The Father didn't hold anything back. He totally forgives his Son. He didn't make any weird comments about like things like, I'm forgiving you, but I'm not forgetting. He didn't say, I'll forgive you this time, but if you ever step out of line again, then it'll be a different issue. He didn't say that. He just totally forgave his Son. Total forgiveness. And the third thing is, it was sacrificial as well. It cost the Father in the first place to allow the Son to go, to give him the inheritance that was being asked for, and to allow the Son to go when the Son rejected the Father. And it wasn't easy, I shouldn't imagine, for the Father to receive the Son back either when the Son came home. It's never easy, is it, to forgive those who have hurt you? There's a cost. It's painful. There's a sacrifice that was being made there. And then fourthly, it was restorative. There was restoration there. The Father didn't just forgive the Son, but he restored the relationship that they had once enjoyed. Father and Son together. The Son was restored back to the family. His position in the family had been restored. The relationship healed. Total and utter forgiveness in this one act by the Father of placing this robe of favor and honor covering the Son's shame just meant total forgiveness for the Son. It was instant. It was complete, sacrificial, and it restored the Son. And of course, the stories that Jesus told is a picture of how our Heavenly Father forgives us. The forgiveness of our Heavenly Father is the same. His forgiveness is instant, it's complete, it's sacrificial, it restores us. John 3:16 is a verse that we quote often, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. It's sacrificial forgiveness, a huge sacrifice being made for me and for you. It was costly. The Father gave his Son. The Son gave his life. Why? Let me tell you why. So that a way could be made for us to be forgiven. We've heard that, something of that this morning, haven't we, in the contributions that were brought. The Father gave up his Son. The Son gave up his life as a way so that we could be forgiven, so that the price could be made. Sacrificial forgiveness. Why? So that we could be reconciled with God, so that our relationship between us and God could be restored. We see at the cross that God himself is paying the price for our sin, so that he can forgive us. But it is costly and it is sacrificial on his part. But then that is good news for us. If we think about that, that is good news for us. Because it was so costly for the Father and costly for the Son to provide a way for us to receive forgiveness, it means that when we come to God and when we say sorry for the stuff that we've done in our lives, that we've got wrong, that when we say sorry to God in that way, we know that he really forgives us because it was so costly for him in the first place. He really forgives us. It is complete forgiveness. He doesn't hold back. His forgiveness is instant And it is complete because Jesus has already made the way. Colossians 1, verse 21 says this, "And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." We were once evil, alienated from God, separated from God. But he has now restored us, restored that relationship, reconciled us to God by Jesus' actions, by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Why? In order that we would be presented before God as holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Not only does God forgive us, but just like the son in the story, he also clothes us as well. He puts a robe on us, a robe of righteousness that covers our shame. Isaiah puts it like this. Like this. Like. Thank you, Pip. Isaiah says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness."
Amen. What a savior.
Woo! That's what he's done for us. On the cross, Jesus was treated as if he were the sinner. Our sin was put on him. Even though he was perfectly holy and pure, God viewed him with our sin, everything that we've ever got wrong. How does then God view us? On account of what Jesus has done for us, we are now treated as if we are perfectly holy and pure. We're treated as if we had entirely fulfilled the law of God. Because we are clothed with righteousness. This exchange happened at the cross. Jesus took our sin. And his holiness and his righteousness were put on us. This is the good news of the cross. This is the good news of the forgiveness of God. This is his amazing grace. Penny shared just now, said a line that just caught my attention, that Jesus takes us by the hand and leads us. That's what he does. Jesus takes us by the hand and leads us. And I just want to ask John Dawson just to come and share as well. God gave John a picture during the week of prayer that we've recently had. That just says something about this as well. It just fits in with this so well. So, John, do you want to come and share?
God gave me a picture that took me slightly by surprise, because being taught about God things since I was that high, and even the womb even, it's nothing should be new. But God showed me a picture. I was just standing there lost, you know, just like a bloke when his wife's shopping, in this sort of reception area. And it was grey, and seemed to be a lot of people trying to get through, but they couldn't. There was a big queue there, and I didn't know what was happening. And then all of a sudden, from behind this curtain, this figure came, took me by my right hand, I noticed that this morning, and took me through. And I then believed and realised it was Jesus doing that. And as we then went through this curtain, or this veil, we're just walking in somewhere totally, totally new, totally different. He still held on to my hand. I was aware that I had a different sort of clothing on. And I was aware also that as I was walking through this wherever Jesus was taking me, there's all sorts of people there, and they didn't say, "Oh, what's he doing here? He's out of place." They thought, "Yeah, he's with Jesus. He's wearing the right stuff. He's all right." And I just, that didn't end. That just sort of, I just paused on that moment. And that Jesus has held my hand. He has made me righteous. And, you know, it's nothing we yourself. It's just that Jesus has done all that and he's got me secure. And I just want to encourage you with that.
Thank you, John. Nobody questioned John as to why he was there. He was with Jesus and wearing different clothes, clothed in a robe of righteousness, totally forgiven by what Jesus had accomplished on the cross. Colossians 3 also talks about putting things on and clothing things. Oh. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. When we know the forgiveness of God in our lives for the times that we've got it wrong, then we have also been called to forgive others. As we put on that robe of righteousness, we are called to be radical in our loving of others, forgiving them at every opportunity, just as we have been forgiven by our Heavenly Father. And I get it, that's hard, isn't it? Forgiving other people when they've hurt you. It's hard, it's costly, it's painful, but we have a God that we can come to who knows just how costly it is to forgive. We talked about the sacrifice that he made. And when we need to forgive someone else, then we know that we can come in full confidence to God and say, God, I need your help in this. Because actually forgiving someone else is really difficult. But you know what it costs to forgive. I know what you went through when you chose to forgive me, giving your son, giving your life on the cross. And we can come with confidence to the Father and say, I really need your help in this. But he calls us to forgive other people. For me, personally, I had to learn to forgive my dad. When I was 15 years old, I was told that my dad was going to be leaving for the second time. And this time, he wasn't going to be coming back. 2 weeks later, I came home from school and he had gone. He didn't say goodbye. And for a number of years after, I didn't really have any contact with him. But I knew in my walk with God that actually I needed to forgive my dad for what he'd done to our family, to me, my sister, my mother. I had to learn to forgive and to release that bitterness that had built up inside. To feel that freedom that comes when you've forgiven other people. Just as that freedom, you experience that freedom when you realize that God has forgiven you. We are called to receive the Father's forgiveness. We're also called as Christians to forgive others. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never had the opportunity to say sorry to God for the things you've done wrong in your life and to know his forgiveness. I tell you that this morning is a great opportunity to do that. Just to say sorry to God. Thank you, God, that you gave your son. Thank you Jesus, that you died on the cross in my place for everything that I've ever done wrong. I choose now to turn away from my old way of life, the way I've been living, and to fix my eyes on you, Jesus, instead, and to follow you, and to know that I am forgiven and adopted and restored into the relationship and the family of God. This morning's a great opportunity to say sorry to God and to know his forgiveness. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you've already done that and you are a follower of God, but you know that there's something in your life that you need to say sorry to God for. When the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? And he gave them a model of prayer for daily living. He said, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Forgive our sins as we forgive others. We can come to God on a daily basis and say, hey, I've stuffed up again. I'm sorry. I receive your forgiveness by the cross. I receive your love and your grace. But I know I need to say sorry to you, God. Perhaps you're living with something and you know that you need to say sorry to God this morning and ask for his forgiveness. Or perhaps you're here this morning and a bit like myself, where I learned that I needed to forgive my dad. That you're here this morning, that you know there's someone in who's hurt you, and that you need to forgive them. Maybe you're not able to kind of physically do that this morning and go and talk to them, but actually you can say in your heart to God, God, I choose to forgive that person for what they've done to me, for the hurt that they have caused me. I choose to forgive them because I don't want anything of bitterness to be left in my heart. This morning is a great opportunity to do that as well. Or perhaps you are here this morning and actually you do need to go and speak to someone and you do need to go and say sorry to them and ask for their forgiveness. Should we stand together? Ed, do you want to just come up? We have a loving Heavenly Father, a Father who loves to forgive. The forgiveness of God is instant, it's complete, it's sacrificial, it restores. If you feel comfortable, I just encourage you just to hold your hands out to God. Just to ignore everybody else and everything that's going on around you and just to close your eyes. I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit just to come. Holy Spirit, if there are things in our lives where we need to know the forgiveness of God, I pray, would you reveal them to us now? Would you reveal them to us now? If there's something that God's speaking to you about, then or you need to say sorry to God, or you need to ask for his forgiveness, then just pray that back to him now. This is between you and God. Because when we ask for God's forgiveness, he really forgives us. He really does. Because it was so costly. It was such a sacrifice for him to give his one and only son. So we can come with full confidence that when we say sorry to God, that he has forgiven us.
Sometimes the hardest things to forgive is when someone has deeply hurt us or deeply upset us. And we can get to that point of forgiving them. But the difficult part is when, even in the midst of all of the trauma of that, is being able to ask for your own forgiveness for where you weren't perfectly like Christ in that situation as well. Many years ago, I was praying with someone who had very chronic back problem. And they'd had ministry, and they felt that it was linked back to a very traumatic event in their life. But talking with them, it was very clear they had worked through and asked, or had forgiven that person. But then I just said, have you ever asked God to forgive you? And he says, well, I was the victim. I said, yes, you were the victim. But did you respond perfectly in Christ's love in those situations? And they went, no, I've never thought of it, that actually I needed to be asked for my forgiveness as well. And we prayed together. And I'd like to say at that instant, she was healed. She wasn't. But that Sunday morning in the middle of worship, she was. And all of a sudden, she just began to shout and dance and run around the front of the church. There's about 1,200 people at the church, and no one really knew what she was going on. But she just ran, grabbed the mic, and said, I've asked Jesus to forgive me. And he has. And at that instant, she was healed. She was set free. So I just feel this morning there may be a few of you who you've come to that point of, I've forgiven the person who's harmed me. But part and parcel of that full release is when you can say, and Father, forgive me. Forgive me. And in no way was it your fault. But we still need to know the Father's forgiveness so that we can truly be set free.
Recently, somebody hurt me, and of course, I had to forgive them. But the Lord gave me a picture of, like, when you, like, you're holding on to a balloon, and he said, like, when you let go, you're free, aren't you? And you're forgiven. And I just thought that is so lovely, that when we forgive and when we release our hurt, we're just like letting go of the balloon and we can walk in freedom again.
Let's keep pressing into God. We believe as a church that he has spoken to us about waves of coming, waves of his Holy Spirit moving upon us and upon this town. Waves of his Holy Spirit bringing a wave of repentance. Saying sorry to God and knowing his forgiveness. Those contributions are just so helpful. Perhaps you need to imagine that picture of letting go of that balloon, of letting go of stuff, of hurt. Just worship together.